receive changes and get upset, we can placard somewhere different, that type of situation. Prayer concerns this morning. Okay, prayer concerns, you just want a voice out.
I have a sister, Kelly, who's been praying for a long time for salvation, and she has non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, and the doctor told her she had 5 years to live, and that was 2 years ago. And so she's continually not wanting to even hear the message at all. So for salvation, she has cancer, it's progressed, but she's in Florida.
John? Just pray for me. I'm going to be going to the detention center and talking to our
as a visitor for those
right.
We do have visitors today, so I didn't want to clarify.
Yeah, we get in to get half an hour at the detention center to minister for the youth there. They select the kids, they're volunteer and they come out to the center. But not only do we talk to them, but our voices are loud enough that the other children, the other inmates can hear us in their cell block, even though they may not have chosen to come out. And also, we minister to the people who run that facility. We always pray for them. So be with me, please.
Somebody else?
Prayer
point for the morning. Prayer
Father God, thank you. Thank you for this day. Thank you for what you have given us in our hearts, Father. And we just ask that you, the Holy Spirit, will energize us and focus us. Focus us on your word today, Father, that we may use that word in our lives, in our daily lives, but also to express it to our fellow journeymen on this world, Father, that we know what you have told us, Father, that the time is short. The time is now to put your word out there and to invite people to come here to receive your word and your instruction through our pastor. And Father, just help us in our lives to reach out to other people around us.
Amen. So we're in John chapter 20. You can go ahead and start turning there. Just some announcements. First class is today. And so who's going to be in first class today? Okay, so at least the three of us will be there. So first class is our new members class, pre-membership class. So for those that are visiting, hopefully it'll be on your horizon down the road. We don't have a date for the next one, but it'll probably be October-ish, somewhere there. And so that'll be this afternoon. Men's groups and ladies groups will meet all together on Wednesday nights. The ladies will meet in here for the next three Wednesday nights. The guys will meet out in the sanctuary the next three nights. And for the guys, we're going to have three different speakers, one each night. The ladies are going to kind of do a series, watching a video and having a discussion off of that for the next 3 weeks. Also, Awana training is going on. They still need some people. And so if you have some availability to serve, that would be a great place to serve. That will also be the next 3 Wednesday nights, training up for that. And then the kickoff will be on the 31st for Awana this year. This Saturday coming up is the ladies' comfort and cookies. And so they will meet here at the church and they're going to make the no-sew blankets and then bag up cookies and deliver those to some shut-ins. Then Saturday evening, there's a fundraiser for BBA at the Woodpeckers game. And so you just look on the email and they give you the code to sign up. When I say the email, the weekly email that goes out, the communication, anybody not getting it? So I'm assuming everybody gets it every week. You read through that. And so you'll see a lot of these in there each week also. Promotion Sunday will be next Sunday. And there's still room for teachers on a rotational basis for our children's department. So see Pastor Brian if that's an area where you can serve on that. Lauren Williams-Bate shower will be next Sunday afternoon, next Sunday evening. evening, we'll be starting to share. We'll have the Lord's Supper in the evening service.
Pastor, I had a question about the woodpecker.
Yep.
Okay. Will there be a bus here?
No, it's we'll be seated together, because if you use that code, we'll put you in our section. But we're going to do transportation, since it's just downtown. Everybody's on their own on that part.
That's a good question.
Any other good questions on any of those?
They do have to use the code for that, those BBA to get credit for this.
Yeah, because it'll be a $14 ticket, but if you use that code, then $5 of it will go to the academy. And so, yeah, don't just buy a ticket. You won't probably sit with us, and then they won't get any money out of it either. Thanks, God. Good point on that. Anybody else? Okay. We still don't have that volunteer yet to be the prayer volunteer coordinator, and so it could be you. I know you're praying about it, of course, on that. You need to reach out to us. There's our contact info, the bureaus. Of course, continue to pray for the work that they're doing down there in Brazil, and Facebook Sunday school page and communication. All right, so review question for the weekend. So what did you hear from God this week? We touched on that, about Mary Magdalene recognizing Jesus' voice, delayed reaction there. So we talk about hearing the shepherd's voice, so I just thought this would be a good question. What did you hear from God this week? I know you don't want to brag, and you don't want to seem like, you know, you're like tight with God, and some people aren't tight with you. So you don't want to make them feel bad, but it's okay. You can make them feel bad.
I had a blessed week.
The question was, what did you hear from God? Have you been on task?
Well, I think when God speaks to me, He also sends people in my area to me.
Yeah.
And you came to see me.
I did last week.
I'm an outreach guy. I love to be talking about Jesus and the Holy Spirit on the street, wherever I can. So, being a new member of this church, I'm trying to bring my enthusiasm for outreach to us. Because I believe that's where we should be going. So I quizzed the church about there's some opportunities coming up, and I said, hey, I want to do this. So I prayed about that, naturally, and I touched out to Steve, and I said, hey, these things coming up, but I need to talk to somebody. And he said, well, Pastor Mike is our outreach guy, and he said he'll come. I'll put him in touch with you. So I waited a couple days, and I'm not a very patient person. I'm sorry. I just have that problem with me. So I emailed back and said, I still haven't heard from him yet. I heard from him the next day. He came and visited me. And I had a glorious time. God sent him to me to emphasize what I was working on. So I thank you, Pastor.
So your answer doesn't have to include me. So
what I got out of that was, you're my God.
I'm going to say we can step up now. Somebody heard really from God. And now I don't know John Biden.
I didn't hear any words, but I had an exposure to something called God Link, where in the evenings, especially when it's a drought, I go out and water plants about 7:30, and I see a lot of nature, and I love the nature that God's created, owls and all kinds of stuff. So I'm over there watering with the hose, and there's a little baby bird, and it was not real small, but it was like it jumped out of the nest and could fly. So I was watering near it, and I noticed it would fly 5 or 6 feet. So, unfortunately, it was flying into the driveway, which frequently breaks them up. So, I prayed to the Lord, and said, do you want me to take this bird in the house and do something to try to raise it? You know, I said, I don't know if that's a good idea or not. You know, I hear it, sometimes it's not. I'm not a biologist, so I said, well, let me just keep watering and see what happens. So, I turned my back for a few seconds, and I turned back around, and one of the parents of this bird came down, face to beak, I should say, and just stared at it. They didn't make
So let's jump into the lesson. And so we're in John 20, Jesus appearing to the disciples. But as we do that, so we had a little discussion about Jesus' bodily resurrection. And so I said, well, I would look at it, but I thought some other people might have looked into that a little bit. And so, any discovered thoughts this week? Where did Chris go? Troy, you want to give us more to that?
I was John 3. Just to clarify that I made the comment that Christ was the first fruit in heaven. So John 3:13. Actually, I'll start with verse 12. It says, if I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except for he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. So my argument was that he was the first. First in heaven, with the right hand of the Father, like it says in Scripture.
And we have a passage in Hebrews also that it would talk about being the firstborn. Refers on that part. So, I'm good with what you guys are talking about now. Just a little slow.
And we just argue that also the ascension takes place during the first fruits, the feast of first fruits.
I just was dragging in last Sunday, and you guys just caught me off guard. I was just like, on out from there. So, yeah, I'm good with that. And just the whole bodily resurrection, and we will have a new body. Anybody else have any thoughts before we jump into today's lesson? Alright, so we're in John, again, chapter 20, and we're going to start there, verse 19, and go through verse 23. Who wants to read that real loud voice? Or at least you're willing to, but I don't want to, if you're willing to. Okay, thanks.
On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, peace be with you. When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his thighs. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld.
So what's it said? Where are we here?
The upper room.
Okay. In the upper room. Who's there?
The disciples.
Okay.
The apostles.
Okay. All right. So we got clarification. Jeremy? Okay. So Jeremy gave clarification there. Disciples, apostles. The 12, there might have been some more, but definitely the 12 that are there at this point.
Except Thomas.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Thomas is there. Good. Yeah,
but
good
this point. Is the next sentence.
Yeah, so we'll do that next week. Yeah, good. All right. So in that first verse, where he's coming to them, what does Jesus say? What's he say?
I think you also got to look at if there's a time stamp on this.
Okay, what
so
time
you is look it? At the evening of that day.
What
the
day?
First day of the week. So it's Sunday, the day after the Sabbath.
So
that plays a part.
Yeah, so we're still there. They went to the tomb, Jesus was resurrected. Disciples came to the tomb, he wasn't there, and then in the evening time, that same, still that first day. Right? So what's Jesus saying to them?
Peace be with you.
Why? What's within that statement?
It goes back to 14.
They're
in doubt, probably.
Yeah. Yeah, they're still not gathered all of this going on yet. They haven't put it all together. Even though they might have trusted in what Jesus was saying,
that, you know, things would happen, they still weren't putting it together that he had to die and that he was going to be resurrected and then how all of that was going to take place. And so they're still trying to figure this out. And so, yeah, I definitely think that they were fearful. There's a lot of apprehension. They really were searching. And so what do you see within Jesus' words there, peace be with you? What does that say to you?
Regardless of the circumstances, we can have peace.
Okay. So what is peace?
Reassurance that God is in control and that he will continue to guide and lead.
If we have that assurance that God's in control and that we're okay, that he has us, to me, that's a great definition of peace right there. It
also can be rest.
It can be a restfulness or resting in God, resting in his presence.
I'd liken it to like a parent when they hold a baby that's crying. I mean, you pick them up and you comfort them, and you can just see that, you know, you can, even as an infant, you just see peace come over them.
Yeah. That reassurance is there. Yeah.
The thing of that is the absence of fear.
The absence of fear.
And yeah. My favorite verse of all time is in Isaiah, and thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. So when I'm fearful, that's what I repeat over and over, because it just brings peace.
Yeah. Now, in Doc's original statement there, did you see the caveat that he added to the end of it? What was that caveat? Any situation, any circumstance. So we live in a fallen, broken world. And we have to realize that. But yet, we can still have peace. Peace doesn't mean that he's going to take us out of this broken, fallen world. Peace is what he's going to give us, what he can bring to us in the midst of this fallen, broken world. And so, as we've just already talked about, the disciples' world, the apostles' world was like all topsy-turvy at this point. But he wanted them to focus in, you know, back to God's peace. Yeah, things are happening. Focus on God. Rest in him. You know, be in his presence. You will have his peace. Other thoughts on having peace with God? Okay, let's go ahead and jump over verse 20. Then he said, when he had said this, he showed them his hands, he showed them his side, and the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. What's he doing here?
Well, they're going to be the witnesses.
Say again?
They're going to be the witnesses. Okay. So they've seen this with their own eyes. So he's got several witnesses.
Yep. So they will be able to verbally say and say the same thing, because we know throughout Scripture, you know, having multiple witnesses that say the same thing is very important. And so they're going to go and be his witnesses on that. Now, being able to actually touch, that goes back to the bodily resurrection, see it, and we'll do that more next week with Tom. So I just want to kind of gloss over this a little bit. We'll refer back to it next week when we do Thomas a little bit more on that. So let's just jump to 21 now. Jesus said to them again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. What do we have in this verse?
Commission.
Yeah. And we talked about the Great Commission. How many Great Commission statements do we have? Do we have at least number? Some will argue for more, and I'm okay with that.
Two times.
Say again?
Two.
Okay, two. All right, that's good. Take a little higher. What are the first five books in the New Testament? You can say it loud enough. It's
Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Acts.
So, how many Great Commission statements might there be?
Five.
Yeah, I think there's five. Good. Yeah. As I said, some I'm okay with pointing out other passages being commission statements, you know, commands. I'm good with that. But these are the main five. I see one in each gospel and one in the book of Acts. Interestingly, they focus on different aspects. With time, we can't go back through and look at each one of them separately, but I did want to give them to you, and you can go back and look at them later. You can take a snapshot of this or ask me later. Text me and say, if you text me those, and I can shoot that to you there. But each of the four Gospels, and then in Acts, we have some kind of command from Jesus being documented that we are to do what? Even though they say it differently, what is the gist of all the Great Commission statements?
Make disciples.
Thank you. I'm so glad you and Troy are here and dead. The rest of you, we're going to pump you up a little bit more this morning. Give them more coffee back there. Did we get decaf out of his faith? Yes, we're to go make disciples. And Jesus says it multiple times, I think. And so we have different quotes in here, and they quote different ways there. But the key is to make disciples. Be a disciple, make disciples, make disciples. And normally I would dwell on that, but we've got a little bit more here we've got to get to finish on. So I couldn't stay the rest of the class in there. So in our next 9 minutes, I think we need to look at these two verses. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld. So, there's a little controversy, a little discussion about what is being said here and what is actually happening here. Does anybody know what controversy we would be talking about? What disagreement we might be talking about?
Fuse between Pentecost and this.
Okay, what's Pentecost?
Pentecost is when the Holy Spirit is thrown down, the flames of fire and speaking in the tongues of all the folks that were in the room, and people heard their own language and the like.
You know, Pentecost is there in Acts 2, all right? And we have Peter preaching, and then that is when the Holy Spirit came upon all the believers. And we have the speaking in tongues, which to me is that they heard in their own language. They were from Italy, they heard in Italian, they were from wherever, and they heard that. We do have the flames of fire, and that's a whole other interesting discussion, especially if you're Pentecostal holiness. How come we never focus on that anymore? We just focus on speaking in tongues. But again, that's a whole other lesson for another day on that. There's a situation here. So when does the Holy Spirit come upon the disciples?
Well, this is great. That's great. When he breathed on them.
Okay.
This to me is in line with the first verse of the giving of the Spirit.
Okay.
But he has to go away for the Spirit to come down.
Okay. So then, did the Holy Spirit then actually come upon the disciples at this moment? Or was that just being made available and that it was, he is coming?
I think it's the Spirit is coming. It's they're getting a taste of what's going to come.
Okay. Keep going. Somebody else, what's your thing?
I think the Holy Spirit has the same attributes as the rest of the Trinity, so it's omnipresent.
Okay.
So it's more of him just helping them to again remember all the things he's been teaching for the last 2 years and to basically get them the whole point, the whole part of his passage.
That shows that he imparted the Holy Spirit on them, on the disciples. Just because why would he have concluded that statement? And so perhaps he was girding up the disciples to be ready for Acts 2. You know, Peter preaching to a large group like that, he might not have been able to do that without the Holy Spirit.
Do we have evidence being documented in the next day between now and Pentecost that we see the Spirit work within the disciples? So that would be the pushback, is we don't see them doing anything, when the fishing along the way there. So that's the pushback and the discussion. Somebody else?
Bless you. God's honor.
Have you heard or remember this language anywhere else in Scripture? Something similar to it.
No, Pastor, one of my favorite passages in the Bible is Genesis 2:7.
Okay.
When God breathed the breath of life into man.
Okay.
So I'm seeing the same kind of correlation with this. Jesus is breathing the breath of life. And I didn't realize this until I just kind of read this morning, that the breath of life is the Holy Spirit that Jesus is breathing onto them, his apostles.
Mm-hmm.
And the people who are out there were in the room.
Let me throw another one in. Could it be that they received the Holy Spirit at this point, but they actually weren't filled or controlled by Him until Pentecost and understood the actual power that they had available to them at that point?
So in the Old Testament, the Spirit came and went, right?
Right.
So He's still on the earth. He's got to ascend for the Spirit to come.
So if you studied up this week, you probably ran across 4 or 5 different combinations of thoughts on how people will need this place out. And we heard almost all of them in the room here. Now, here's where, if you're waiting for me to tell you absolutely this is what happened, not going to happen. And I can even go and study it again this week, and I don't think I'll be able to come back next week. For me, I have a feeling on this that it was very much a symbolic presentation that the whole mannerism of the breathing, that was also reinforcing God's deity, or Jesus' deity. Of course, God's God. Jesus being God the Son, and so He's reinforcing to them, because they would go right back to Genesis, just like John took us back there. And to think through, for a human to do a mannerism of breathing anything into somebody would be, no, we don't do that, because that's what God did, and it's only God. So we do know that the Holy Spirit is around, and from an Old Testament standpoint, the Holy Spirit would be sent on mission with people, is kind of the way I look at it. That, you know, some people would have the Holy Spirit for a season or for a task or for something that was going on there. And so I can see where it could play out that the Holy Spirit was present with the disciples in some way for these next 40-50 days here. Then it was at Pentecost, the fullness. I'm good with all of that. To me, the key is that Jesus clearly had already told them that I had to go so the Holy Spirit can come to you. And so they were not able to have the fullness of the Holy Spirit until Jesus left. And so there's something there, but I can't nail it down exactly. But yet for us, the key takeaway is that Jesus is God the Son, because the only person that can breathe into us is God. The Holy Spirit is also part of the Trinity. And we as believers have the Trinity within us. You know, we possess the Holy Spirit. God the Spirit is in us from the moment of salvation. I can't use this passage for a two-stage salvation and then you ask for the Spirit. So for those within the room, you know, or other denominations that think you can get saved and then you have to ask for the Spirit, no, I don't think this passage in Pentecost is showing us that at all. I think it's the things that we were dealing with on that. As believers, as soon as we believe, as Pastor talks about this morning, being New Testament, being after Pentecost, we now have God the Spirit with us personally, relationally. Yes, God is always around us, but we have Him within us. Right? Push back on that thoughts, pro, yay, nay.
It's also a new creation. I mean, right? Brand new creation.
Yes. And that's that throughout Scripture we have this already but not yet. And so when we think about new creation, we're a new creation as soon as we're saved. As soon as the Holy Spirit comes into us, we are made new. Does that mean that we are perfect? No. When will we be perfect? Not till we get to heaven on that part. And so we are made a new creation, but we're not totally perfect yet on that. And that's one of those tensions in Scripture that's just so interesting on that already, but not yet. Good. Yes. Any thoughts on this or anything in the passage? Since I need to bring it to a close. Kevin.
You're talking about other languages, right? Where else in the Bible does that take place? Is there one other place?
Well, I think most of the New Testament passages that deal with speaking in tongues are places. Well, it goes back to the separation of being exiled, tied to that, and then being able to hear God in whatever voice to me would be bringing you back away from exile. So I think you get up to reverse that God is wanting to bring us together with Him under Him. Whereas Babel would be away from it. Is that what you were thinking?
Just feeling.
Your side?
I was waiting for you to explain the first point you were in.
Go ahead. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness of any, it is with heaven.
Someone anointed sit under great ones, so.
Yeah. I think the apostles were very special in this. That God is helping them to see the power that they have. I don't know that it's literal the power to forgive sin. I think it's literal as you are an ambassador for God. You can help people receive the forgiveness of sin. And so I think Jesus is not giving them that ability. I think God is the only one that can actually forgive sin. But I think that as His ambassador, we are doing work for Him. And so as we explain the gospel, as we forgive others, what will happen? Our sins will also be forgiven. I think as we live out a life of forgiveness, then people will see that. Am I close, Doc?
No, I'm sad.
That's okay.
I think it also, like you said, that the last part of it is the whole forgiveness from any that is withheld. They didn't know that they have to have the forgiving heart. They withhold forgiveness. That's just, you know, also hard.
Yeah, when we withhold forgiveness, it has damaging results. Typically with us, mostly. But it can on other people that have relationships. Alright, well, we're over time. It goes so fast. Good discussion. Some of you got to talk a little bit more. Some of you did good on that part there. Somebody give us a closing word of prayer.
Thank you, Father, for this day. Thank you for the blessings we just learned about you, Father. More about you, Lord Jesus, and how you acted and how you're acting now. Father, we just ask that you're in us as we go in our lives. And Father, that you excite us about being a Christian. That you overflow us with joy, Father, so we can outreach the people around us. And tell them about you, Father. Tell them about how great you are and how about Jesus who came to save us. Father, we are your ambassadors and your representatives, and instruct us and guide us. And give us all the tools that we need, Father, for everything we do. We pray in your name.
Amen. Thanks, everybody.